I'm Brian Lang. I'm the CEO of Seniors in Touch. We're a family communication system for residents of senior living communities. And you're at transforming social media for the senior community. If you're doing the hashtag thing, it's SXSM numeric for seniors. You're probably already aware that there are 40 million people who are 65 and older already in America. And then starting last year, 10,000 people a day, the oldest baby boomers started retiring. So 10,000 people a day are now turning 65. So what that means is in 20 years, we'll have 78 million people who are 65 years and older. That demo will double. It's the largest and fastest growing demographic in the United States. So who are these people, all right? Well, they may have come of age in the 50s as young adults, but they're a little less Mayberry and a little more Woodstock, because by the 60s, they were protesting the Vietnam War, they were rolling in the mud at Woodstock, and they didn't accept the status quo. One of my favorite stories from this last year was a bunch of 70-year-old women in San Francisco who took their walkers and their oxygen tanks, and they went down to the Bank of America and did an Occupy Geriatrics, where they protested all the home closings and demanded lower fees. So these are folks who are just, they're used to change. They're used to, like I said, not accepting the status quo. The market for older adult technology right now is a $2 billion market a year. And it's expected to grow to $20 billion in 10 years. That's technology like personal emergency response systems, the pendants that you wear where you fall in and you can't get up, or brain fitness games, or assistive technology that lets you age gracefully in your home. What that doesn't cover is social media type engagement for older senior adults that keep them connected to family. And in fact, social media is ageist. And let me explain what I mean. Among the youngest adults, social media consumes their daily activities. I have two kids in their 20s, and they were both raised on the internet and with computers almost from birth. And of the youngest adults, or millennials, 18 to 31, 95% of them are online. But for older seniors, those who are 74 and older, only a third of them are online, yet they live in a world where online access has become a necessity. But for those older adults, and I deal with a lot of the older senior adults in my job, for those who are online, adoption of social media has quadrupled in the last 4 years, so it's a hungry market. But internet access is no longer optional. Social Security recently announced that it would no longer mail statements, and that people who need them would have to get them online. 80% of senior adults live at home, and 20% of them live alone, or 27% of them live alone. They live in a world where their kids, their grandkids, their great-grandkids live online, and consider a landline phone old-fashioned. Their family's texting, they're updating statuses on Facebook and sending pictures on their cell phones, but grandma is still trying to catch up. Senior adults fear moving into a senior living facility more than they fear death, and their kids feel guilty when they have to move them into a senior living facility, but do so because of health concerns. Roughly 10% of the adults in America live in one of 60,000 senior living communities. And while there's staff that can help them with a computer, if social media solutions were available, they're non-existent. So who's going to meet the needs of this underserved market, and who's going to provide the innovation needed to connect elders to their loved ones? I'd like you to meet Maurice. Maurice was my speaking assistant for South by Southwest. He goes to Boston University. Real neat guy, just not typical of when I was in my 20s, because he doesn't want to be in a Fortune 500 company. He's an entrepreneur. He plays with mobile apps. He called me the day and he asked me who I knew was using Chromebooks. You know, he's always looking for a way to create a new technology that will attract the interest of the venture community and launch his career as an entrepreneur. But here's the problem. And I talked to Maurice, and I talked about the aging market, and he'd never really thought about it before. Here he is in a fishbowl of all these young millennials who are competing to do new technology, but they're fish in a barrel. They're all competing, and some, you know, or like cream rising to the top. Some of them are going to get to the top of the barrel, and venture capitalists are going to come fund them, but most of them are going to be lost in that competition. Older senior adult technology is just not a sexy technology. And but when you look at the market size, the largest and fastest growing market in the United States, my conversations with Maurice had evolved around, wouldn't you rather be in a market that's underserved, that has money and has a need, as opposed to competing with all these folks who are all fighting for the same space? I've had the same experience in building my company, Seniors in Touch, when I've gone to venture capitalists. You know, you sit down with them and you talk about the size of the aging market, you talk about the needs, you talk about how everybody has a grandma and how you want to see her smile on Skype or Facebook or whatever, and I don't know how many times I sat with venture capitalists, the light just never goes on. And of course, then you go look at their portfolio of things they do fund, and you find a lot of really sexy social media tech that's usually created by a lot of Maurice's peers. So the last year and a half, the AARP has been stepping up. And now, you know, if you know the AARP, they're a 50 and older organization. They represent one-third of all Americans. And they started making the rounds of the venture community and tech conferences talking about this underserved market. And I'd like to share a little bit of a clip with you here from a guy named Jody Holtzman. Jody's the senior VP of thought leadership at AARP, and he spoke this last fall at Demo in Silicon Valley, which is where a lot of startups go to get funding.
This market opportunity is not front and center in consciousness. It's not on the radar screen. And I think there's no getting away from the fact that, you know, when you're talking about 100 million people, right? That's how many people are 50 plus. It's a third of the country.
Third of the entire country, right?
That's right. And we have 37 million members, and so you can do the math in terms of market penetration. But you know, when you have that many people, you know, if I wanted to be crass about it, you'd have to be an idiot to turn your back on the only humongous growth market that exists.
In the 90s, I did a startup back when the internet was young, and it was together with a fellow named Don Sapaw, who he did the financing, I did the tech, and it was a startup called OnePlace.com. And OnePlace was, we launched it back when the internet was brand new and families were super scared of what the internet might do to their kids. So it was a faith-based portal where we kind of brought folks in, gave them technology, helped them make the internet safe. We ended up selling it a few years later to a large publicly traded faith-based communications organizations. But out of that process, I ended up doing a book called Making the Internet Family Friendly, which was a kind of a pioneering bestseller for the faith-based market on how families can keep their kids safe on the internet. And the reason I bring this up is because the primary focus on the book, while it talked about, you know, from the 90s, things like NetNanny and all the things that we used to look at to try to lock down the internet, the number one thing that keeps kids safe on the internet is their parental knowledge, you know, the parents knowing what's going on and putting a computer in a public place, that kind of thing. But it's family involvement that makes the internet safe for kids. And I found the same is true in working with senior adults the last 18 months, is that family transforms social media for senior adults. And let me explain how. My mom is in her 70s, and I couldn't get her on Facebook. A couple years ago, my daughter decided that she wanted to get married. And so she announced it to my son, who promptly posted it on his status on Facebook. And my sister, who's in Ohio, saw it, you know, called my mom real excited. You know, and it's like, oh, wow, Brittany's going to get married. And my mom's like, how come I haven't heard about this? And how did you find out about this on Facebook? So who gets taken to the woodshed? Me. My mom calls, and she's like, okay, why didn't you tell me that, you know, your daughter's getting married? I'm like, you knew something before I knew it, because it just happened that fast on Facebook. And out of that, my mom, who, you know, was kind of a technophobe, bought herself an iPad. She has learned to use Facebook to stay in touch with family. She doesn't do a lot of fancy stuff, can't upload pictures, but she can press the like button, and she's even started putting statuses online. So ever since that, just being engaged with family gave her a reason to learn to use social media. That's what we do at my company, Seniors in Touch. The fellow who I started One Place with after we sold that company, he went off and he started building senior living communities. And years ago, he started spending money on trying to get a social media solution for senior adults to be able to stay in touch with their families. You know, so you have like 80 people who live in a senior living community. These are really nice communities usually. You know, they have like beauty shop services, and you know, it's just not the old scary place you used to think of. It's kind of like a concierge and a semi-nice hotel type thing. But what they're missing is the ability to use modern media to stay in touch with family. So last year he hired me to come in and say, you know, how do we take a simple media or a simple touch screen and simple uses of social media and allow these senior adults to stay in touch with their families? So for our company, we put together touch screens with video messaging. So if you don't have the dexterity to type because you're getting older and you get a message from your grandkids or whatever, you can press respond and you can do a video message. And in fact, I tell the folks who use our product that you only need to know how to use your finger and a four-digit code to log in, and it's all set up for you. What we do is we have families set up their first experience of this, so it's not learning to use the internet. It's just something that they sit down behind, and suddenly it's all about them. They can do picture sharing if you know senior adults. That you can go into their homes or into senior living communities. Every room is full of pictures. They love to share pictures. Social media is perfect for that. We give them a chance to tell their life story online, and we do that together with the families. So the families can start we have chapters set up where families can talk about upbringing and education and social involvement, church involvement, and then all the other family members can pitch in and start sharing pictures from eras in their life and stories too for them. And seniors love that. They love telling stories. They've had a lifetime of accomplishments, and sharing those stories are very important to them. I found out that health reports to family became very important, that the social media side alone was not enough, that if you live far away from your mom, whether she's at her home or whether she's in a senior living community, you want to know if she's fallen. You want to know what her latest health update, you know, her checkup is like. You want updates as a family member on health. So we began to add things like health reports. And then we give the owner-operators of senior living communities the opportunity to do activity reports. You know, here mom can do Wii bowling this week, or mom's going to Walmart or whatever. So they can send out that kind of information. Last thing on what we do and how I've learned a little bit about social media for seniors adults is this is the kind of experience we like a senior adult to have the first time that they log into our system. Like I said, it's all about them. All they have to do is use their finger and log in. This is Marge. She lives in Port Lavaca, Texas, and this is her grandson who's in Texas. And this was one of the first messages that Marge got to see when she logged in and used social media for the first time.
Hi, Nana. Love you and miss you. I'm really excited that you have email now, and especially video email. I'm really excited about that because that's cooler than writing online. The reason that I wanted to do a video one today is to show you this. That's, believe it or not, an ultrasound. And that little white dot right there is our baby. And you're the first person to ever see that. It's kind of old now. That was around 6 weeks.
And it was so cool because I saw her the day after she saw this message for the first time, and she was beaming, you know, because she's, you know, thousands of miles away. And there was lots of other stuff. There was pictures. She had like a dozen grandkids who sent all kinds of stuff for her. But Marge suddenly knows how to use social media, you know, and she went around and told all her other friends how cool this was. And where there was maybe hesitation because, you know, I don't know how to type URLs. I don't know email addresses. I don't know. You know, all that was taken away. It was just simple social media that let them stay in touch with family. And it kind of ignites the, for us, when we do this, it ignites the senior living communities because it's just simple for them to stay in touch with family. So hint number two on what transforms social media for seniors is accessibility. Seniors deal with three areas of decline as they get older. They deal with macular degeneration or their eyesight. They have manual dexterity issues where they shake, you know, and some of them it's even hard to touch our screens sometimes because they shake. And they deal with cognitive abilities or thought. So they need simple prompt-driven interfaces to help them work through, you know, technology. I don't know if any of y'all play Angry Birds, but recently I read a report that senior adults who play Angry Birds improve their cognitive ability. So if you have grandma and she's not online, you know, give her a smartphone and teach her how to use Angry Birds, and she should improve her thought process. Somebody you want to know if you ever want to get into the space is a guy named Gary Moulton. He is the second guy who you need to know if you want to work in this space. After a decade with Apple and then after another decade with Microsoft in 2007, Bill Gates put him in charge of all things senior adult at Microsoft in anticipation of the wave of retiring boomers. What's the advice Gary gives when designing for senior adults? It's to engage the end users in use of your technology and in the design process so they can see and explain how it fits into their lives. One of the biggest barriers to technology adoption for seniors is a lack of interest, not difficulty to use. So, final hint number three, health transforms social media for seniors. When I began with Seniors in Touch, the challenge was very straightforward. It was to build a simple social media solution that was easy to use, with an easy-to-use touchscreen interface. However, I quickly discovered that social media wasn't enough and that family members were interested in the health of their loved ones as well. It should come as no surprise that the AARP's website, the health tools area is one of the most frequented areas on the website with over 25 million visits annually. Lori Orlov is the third and likely most important person you should know if you want to work in this space. Lori has spent 30 years in the tech industry, with 10 of those as a senior analyst at Forrester. She's a principal analyst for Aging in Place Technology Watch, and last April she authored a seminal work for the AARP on connected living for social aging. In her report, she shares a vision for a day in the life, and last week I did a Skype session with her so she could share with you her vision of a tech-enabled relationship.
Consider a little bit a day in the life of tech-enabled relationships for an imaginary woman named Margaret. She's 88 years old, and she's a senior living at home. In the morning, she passes through a doorway motion sensor. She puts on her personal emergency response watch. She receives a cell phone call to tell her to take her medication. She gets a video call from her grandchildren, requests a transportation pickup, participates in an online hobby forum, and attends a distance learning course. By the end of the day, she's exhausted, and she goes to bed at 7 o'clock because she's had such a busy and active day. Her long-distance family makes the video call, shares trip photos with her, sets up a family tree. Her family caregivers actually update her personal health record. They preload her e-pill canister, set a medication reminder schedule, configure a notification phone list in the event that she doesn't take her medications, and receives all the home-related alerts. Her healthcare providers actually update her personal health record, write an e-prescription, check her downloaded data from her wearable cardiac monitor, and answer an email question from her to the degree that she has any. And that is the important thing to think about, is that every single technology I just described in this scenario, everyone is on the market today and available.
And at the end of this presentation, I have contact information for all the resources that are in this, and you can actually download this presentation as well if you'd like to refer to it. There's one area where seniors' use of online media exceeds that of millennials, and that's in the use of PHRs, or personal health records. If you're not familiar with PHRs, they're kind of the inversion of EMRs, electronic medical records, to where providers may have an electronic medical record, whether it's your doctor or the hospital or whatever. And a PHR is the repository of that. It's nomadic. It's something you keep with yourself that keeps a record of all your health, but it can do much more than that. It can do health and wellness. It can do diet. It can be very elastic. You go to Health Vault from Microsoft right now. They have a very robust and dynamic personal health record. So it's an area of growing interest. It can respond to monitor devices that you might wear for, you know, how many calories you've burned. It can keep data, all kinds of interesting and cool stuff. So PHR is one area where seniors' use of it actually exceeds that of 18 to 31-year-olds. Gary Moulton at Microsoft last fall asked me if I had heard about the Healthcare Innovation Challenge Grant, which is from Medicaid and Medicare. And that was a $1 billion fund that is going through a second cycle of funding in June, but its intent is to create better healthcare to reduce costs for Medicare, and it was to challenge innovation in healthcare. So Lori and a guy named Fred Trotter, who was here at South by Southwest, and I, along with some others, put together a $5 million grant that takes personal health records. It combines it with a geriatric care algorithm that, you know, kind of takes snapshots of your health and helps you walk through quizzes and stuff. The proposal we put together downloads data from like Medicare B or your healthcare provider to know what kind of preventative benefits are available to you, because there's tons of them now in the Affordable Care Act. And then it combines all that with a social media space for senior adults and their family so that there can be a collaborative effort to better manage preventative care and health in a senior adult's life. That was an exciting process for us. We find out in 2 weeks if we get that grant. But it led my company from being more than just social media to kind of stretching into healthcare. And if you've noticed, because of the crisis in healthcare, Inc. magazine is called 2012 likely the year of the healthcare startup. I'm going to do it, whether I get this grant or not. I'm going to incorporate a lot of what I learned from that process in our product with Seniors in Touch. But if we do get the grant, we get to try some cool stuff too, like use Kinect interfaces for motion type interface for seniors who maybe have a problem touching the screen. And there's just so much that's still right around the corner for senior adults in this huge market that needs more innovators and more folks stepping up to meet the challenge. There we go. We are almost done anyway. So anyway, here's a really neat clip. If you, I turned 50 in June, so this is interesting to me. But there's a lot of late adoption for the 50-plus market, but we're all adapting very quickly. And the AARP has put together a very cool clip about social media and the 50-plus market for senior adults. There is one more thing that transforms social media for seniors. Seniors have a lifetime of stories to tell involving achievements from their lives, and they want to share these stories with anyone who will patiently listen. Some want to talk about their children or their children's children, while others want to talk about, you know, reminisce about war or workplace battles won and lost. As a lovely and vibrant 85-year-old woman once told me, I just want to talk to someone from the outside world that has some real interest in what I have to say. Championing social media for the senior community transforms our present and our future. And thank you for listening. Are there any questions? Yes. Uh-huh. Sure. Okay. So the question was working at home for those 50 plus. Is that the, okay? Well, I'm one of those people, I have been at least. It's not quite as true as it used to be. I know I've seen a lot of studies, and some of them are from the AARP, on kind of starting over. And you're looking at how you're going to cover retirement, and you're in your 50s and your 60s, and you don't have the nest egg yet. And there's a lot of encouragement from the AARP folks. And I would actually refer to this email address, social media at AARP, or this URL, and ask them some of those questions, because they've done tons of research on that. Because I haven't looked at it as much. We look more at how can we increase the quality of life for senior adults in using social media where, people just don't use phones like they used to, what happens in communication these days isn't on the telephone. It's in Twitter, it's in Facebook, it's in all these places. And here you have this huge growing market, and they have not quite disability, but they have special needs in how they use technology. And when we design technology for people to use, we should design it for all and not exclude this large and growing market. So I don't have much experience in that area.
Hi, I'm Patty. I work for AARP.
Oh, okay.
So thanks for the plug.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious with the grant that you've proposed. Uh-huh. Many of our members live in rural areas.
Right.
They don't have DSL. They're still on dial-up.
Yeah.
They're very isolated. What are you addressing any of that, especially for many of our members who are hard of hearing or have very poor eyesight? What are you doing to reach those seniors?
Well, I can probably speak more from my knowledge of that grant, because it was a grant that came out of the Affordable Care Act, and a big part of it was addressing rural adults, Medicare, Medicaid, and because they don't get high quality services in rural areas. I actually, before this, worked with denominations on building their online communities, and we were always very concerned about how we connected folks in rural areas to resources that were, in high internet speed areas. And so we always designed down for dial-up access, because a lot of folks, surprisingly, still in rural areas, they don't have high speed. The grant gave extra money to people who had innovative solutions for rural areas. For us, since my company deals with senior living communities, most of them do have high speed access, and so we actually a component of our grant for those people were touch screens in private areas where they could do telemedicine, so they could have access to healthcare where. Otherwise, they'd have to get in the car, drive 45 minutes to a specialist, our solution was to do telemedicine from senior living communities. But beyond that, I know the Healthcare Innovation Challenge Grant did put a lot of money into folks coming up with solutions for rural areas. And I actually contacted them before I came to find out where they were at on announcing some of these grants. And they're not prepared they'll do that in 2 weeks. So maybe keeping an eye open for that would be a...
Just to follow up, what do you see being done for the hard of hearing and, sight impaired?
It's a really good question. I have a harder time with the hard of hearing. Even with our system, we provide headphones and stuff, for them if they are hard of hearing. But eyesight in particular, I love the idea of these big Kinect things now where you can have Windows 8 on it, which is very oriented towards that kind of environment, and just giant screens, where folks can see what's going on. Some of the stuff I didn't include in the presentation that came from Gary were things like high contrast. When you design for older adults and technology, you have big screens with high contrast, nothing beyond below a 14-point type, all kinds of things. But it's definitely an area of challenge. For me, it's a little easier because we deal with laboratories. I look at senior living communities as these 80-bed laboratories of folks that we actually go in and we get staff that can help train them and we get feedback. But for folks who are living alone, and there's 30% of them who live alone at home, it's a real challenge on getting them connected and improving the quality of their life and their health. And it's an area I think more people need to be engaged with. And that, one of the reasons I actually did this presentation is last year I looked at South by Southwest and I said, where's social media for senior adults? You know, it's the area of I'm interested in. And there was absolutely nothing, you know. And I'm hoping that will change because it's such a growing market. Maybe next year.
We say the same thing.
Yes.
First thing, I was really surprised there was no access to the deaf.
Yeah.
Because we provide services to access communication over the phone. And the issue is social media, you know, because people talk on the phone. And senior citizens have a difficult time talking on the phone. And we do have technology for that because some senior citizens don't want to use an interpreter because all their life they've been speaking English. They did not grow up deaf. So they need some type of access to feel connected. So our service does have a captioning telephone for seniors who have become deaf late in life. And is there any information about social media? Because you have videos. You were just showing some videos. But there's no accessibility for deaf people because there's no captioning.
Right.
That was the first time I really understood what was going on in that video when I had an interpreter.
Yeah.
Because I watched it, but I really didn't know what was going on. And there are legal issues because federal law requires media needs to be captioned online.
That's true.
And for senior citizens, my question is, you know, can we have font or captioning on there? You know, just having reverse contrast or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
See the visual text.
Right.
So there are many things related to hearing loss that we need to consider. And the first thing with deaf senior citizens, you know, is their vision, but their hearing also, they lose their hearing over time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people don't live without glasses for 20 years, but people live without hearing aids for 20 years.
Right.
So, I mean, they put up with that hearing loss more so than vision loss. And I'm very surprised that that was not discussed in this workshop. You know,
well,
there was no perspective on hearing loss in this workshop.
I can point you to a resource, too. And you're right, I didn't, because I had to edit down what I had time for. But this link here from Microsoft where it says enable, there's actually two links in that area that fully address this. There's one in the developer section of Microsoft. You'll see there's a link when you go to enable, the Microsoft.com/enable, and there's a link for developers that fully explores for businesses how you can be compliant and provide complete accessibility. They also provide a section, as you mentioned, for government-funded projects, because you're right. If the government funds a project, they have much stricter requirements on accessibility. And so Microsoft also has a complete section their website for those who get government money and how you are compliant. But you're right, I apologize. I didn't include that. There's a lot of information. But there's definitely resources for people who are interested in developing these kind of technologies that are very well thought out and executed to help train. You know, and in the old days, too.
I just wanted to remind you and not to forget that.
But thank you. You know, in the old days, when the internet first begun, every browser, there was a conscientiousness in browsers where you could use a Lynx browser. Did you ever use a Lynx browser in the early days? Because and there was it's a social consciousness to where if there was a picture, there would be an alt tag that explained what the picture was. And there was a lot. And people used to do that. But then as the internet got more complex, you know, folks started programming for the masses and they stopped programming for everybody. And that's obviously a problem.
That's unfortunate, but I'm looking forward to solutions. And our company will look into that as well. Solutions, for example, chat. We really depend on video software.
Yeah.
Skype.
Yeah.
It's fine. You know, how will Skype help my grandmother hear better, for example?
Right.
That's not being addressed. That's not being thought about. And putting Skype caption streams in Skype. I've talked with IBM, and the other day they have a research center here, and they do text, voice to text. And that technology to translate it automatically. So in a few years, I think we'll see a lot of changes. Voice to text, text to voice.
Yeah.
And it's not like Google, their automatic text. That's still a little bit, has glitches and so on and so forth, but I'm looking forward to that.
Well, and I would encourage you to do a panel next year. You know, make a present. They like diversity at South by Southwest. And do a panel and bring it up.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation. I think it's an amazing product you're building. Could you speak specifically to the size of your market right now, your progress on that? And I also noticed on your site that you've patented some of your technology. So if you could speak to some of the specifics of your patent.
Okay. My investor group is folks who build and operate senior living communities, and so that's our primary focus right now. There's 60,000 senior living communities in America. It's hard to get an exact definition of how many senior living communities there are because each state has a slight different definition between like assisted living and skilled nursing and that kind of stuff. But generally, there's about 60,000 that are clearly defined. That you can market to. For us, with our product, Seniors in Touch, and the patent is very simple. It's how we engage families and put them in a simple social media environment for senior living communities. But for us, to give you an idea of the size of the market, if the market is roughly 10%, depending on how you define the market, if we capture, as a company, if we capture 10 or 15% of that market with our product, we generate $30 million a year in revenues.
I guess my question was related more specifically to your progress as a company in capturing that market. How many facilities do you have up and running, and what are the early results of that?
Yeah, we're past a seed stage in our company. I'm fairly well funded, but we're going through a commercialization round, raise round right now. There's a lot of resources. It's kind of new still, but there's a sales force that we've hired that introduced BlackBerry to the world. They were called MarketLink back in the day, but now they've transitioned and they're focused on healthcare because it is such a growing market in selling technology to people who want to age at home or to senior living communities. So there's about 200 salespeople there that beginning this summer, they're going to start selling our product at large and commercialize it. For our product, it's been very simple and straightforward. It's not a sexy technology, you know. It's a simple-to-use family engagement model. Because who doesn't want to see grandma smile on Skype? You know, it's just they're just getting it in, getting it working and easy to use. Like I said, it's not a sexy technology, and so there's just not a lot of folks who do it for senior living communities. We have competitors that do this in the home care market. GE and Intel have something called Care Innovation Connect, and they do a whole suite of products to help people age at home that has kind of a social media piece to it. There's others like Telekin that do a very simple touchscreen where folks at home can age. But for us, the low-hanging fruit was in senior living communities because there's an easy go-to market for us. It's an easy channel to define. It's a B2B sale as opposed to a customer sale because we sell to the community. So, you know, 18 months ago, there was no product. And we piloted it. We prototyped it. We put it out in a dozen different communities. Some of those communities became investors because they liked the product. And so it's been a very swift process for us. And hopefully by next year we'll have had that grant and even have an extension to the product where we're in healthcare next. So.
Thank you.
But thank you for asking.
Hi, my name is Hiren Mandalia. Actually, we are from Motorola. So I love the product, actually. It's very cool, simple idea, really nice. And the more I was thinking about this, there is another side, which is, you know, so the way I understand this is more for seniors to keep in touch, keep themselves in touch with the families.
Right.
But there is the other angle to it, which is seniors to keep in touch with themselves, like within seniors. Like, how do you connect them? How do you help them manage their social calendar better or they're going to events or attending classes or something like that. What are your thoughts on that? Is there a market for that? And is anybody doing anything in that space?
Well, it's real interesting because I talk to some people sometime. They tell me about their 80-year-old grandma got an iPad and she downloaded 80 apps the first week and she's just going to town, And then I talk to folks who buy a computer for mom and she never uses it. For me, the learning process was around family engagement. People will, if you get some kind of improvement in their quality of life, senior adults will learn to use technology. And the easiest, the three stools for me, as you saw in the presentation, were family. They care about family. They care about being able to use the technology, like it's just accessible. And then they care about their health. I mean, there's a big preoccupation the older you get with how you manage your health. And even those personal health records, it's not quite like a schedule like you mentioned, but just the idea, I was telling my own mom about personal health records, and she started digging into it, and she started loving this idea of managing her health online, and she had never thought of it before because it had value, immediate value for her. So I don't know about scheduling, though. I found that a lot of senior adults, less is more. They tend to simplify their lives. And if you give them too many options, I go to senior living communities, and they have computer labs that are totally unused. Too many people, they don't use Facebook for the same reason. Too many options. They don't need to know all that stuff. It doesn't mean they don't want to use social media. It means they don't want to have to do all the extra stuff that comes with tagging people or the new timeline on Facebook or, learning
that,
this.
But that means that there is a need for Facebook for seniors, right? Something simpler.
Yeah, actually, I've been an advocate. Somebody should do a third-party app, or a lot of people should do third-party apps for Facebook that simplifies the whole process and makes it a senior-friendly interface. And actually, I was talking to folks from the AARP this last week, and I didn't ever realize there was a light version of Facebook at one time that they did away with about a year and a half ago. I'd never seen it. But the idea was how to keep it simple. And you got to do that. The folks at AARP and the folks at Microsoft, they do believe in design for all, or at least Gary Moulton at Microsoft does, where it costs 2% more to design an interface to consider older adults when you design an interface, as opposed to going back and redoing your interface doubles the cost of your interface design. So from the very start, you should consider, here you have this, I think it was 2045, there will be more senior adults than there will be younger adults. It's just going into a place where the market is going to have to be accessible for folks who are older and have, I wouldn't call it special needs, but your brain's sharp, but maybe your body's falling apart. It doesn't mean you don't want to be engaged. It just means you need a more direct access method to be engaged. And that's what we try to do, is try to boil it down to what's the things that put a smile on grandma's face. What's something that makes her happier and healthier? What keeps her in better health? She lives longer so she can enjoy life. Those are the kind of things for us, at least, that we look at to kind of revolutionize their experience.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Bob Watts. My day job, I work on designing social media for the U.S. Department of State in Washington and running a suite of social media tools we have inside our 80,000 user firewall at the State Department, which is a fairly old population, even though we have a lot of young people. But as a volunteer, I'm the new media director of the International Federation of Jewish Men's Clubs, and which has an average age of about 60. Mm-hmm. And I've been looking at this, and this was the first panel I picked in looking at the panels from the list. But one thing I run into with my parents, who are still around in their late 80s, and the other, even the members of the men's clubs that I deal with, is the tech issues. You can design a user-friendly interface, mm-hmm. but how do you deal with the supporting their use of the technology? I find 80% of the problems can be solved by rebooting the computer, but there are a lot of instances with upgrades, with new software, and with new computers and technology that often older people really have trouble with. Mm-hmm. And often they're taken advantage of by the Best Buy, Geek Squad, or whoever right. scares them into buying services they don't really need, or buying new equipment they don't need.
That's for sure. Well, I know I'm from Houston, and one of the companies that's a very fast-growing company in Houston is one called MyGate. And we're not in the business of teaching senior adults to use computers. We want them to have a family engagement type, you know, social media environment where we boot all of our stuff up into kiosk mode. We lock it down. We make it very simple, not complicated. But there are people who are making a lot of money off of color coding, you know, computers, big keys, you know, great customer support, bigger interfaces. And I know at least one example is the MyGate folks in Houston. They seem to have that down. But it's not an area that I've put a lot of effort into.
Hi, my name is Lahaina. First of all, thank you so much for the presentation. It was very enlightening and sort of shedding light on an untapped demographic. I'm a social media manager, and I do social strategies out in a firm in D.C., mm-hmm. and a lot of our clients cater to the senior demographic. And I guess my struggle is sort of consulting these brands and these organizations and how to use social media mm-hmm. to reach out to their demographic. So coming from a more marketer perspective, mm-hmm. do you have any suggestions on how to tap social media for this specific demographic?
For what is your age group?
Depending on which client, but I have a good handful of clients that cater to like 50 all the way to 80 mm-hmm. demographic.
I'd have to defer to the AARP again, but I know enough about what happens at their website to know that health is big, games is big, leisure is big, finance is big, and travel is big. And so I know for my mom, she is a big believer in Frommer's travel. She spends all her time online at Frommer's figuring out what her next trip's going to be. And so to me, it's a channel thing. It's a difficult thing. I don't do a lot of marketing to that age group because it's hard to find them online, mm-hmm. you know. But you can find them online, but you have to find them in the islands, I guess, the places where older adults do tend to congregate. I'd hope to have some of the other folks, Bruce and I, they're both from AARP here, that maybe they could answer some of those questions better. But older adults are still catching up. You know, they're mm-hmm. catching up quickly. You know, they're kind of at the end of the adoption curve. And I know, at least for me, when I go into senior living communities, even in the past year, from one year to the next, more and more senior adults are bringing their laptops in. You know, so I know it's a growing use market. But I don't know. I think you have to find where they hang out to market to them and know how to do that kind of channel thing. I got to tell you, I'm a big believer in, if you look at Facebook, the Facebook demographic has exploded in the 50-plus, and you can target so cost-effectively by saying, I want 50-plus in this area that has this interests. You know, that's a great place. I would look at it starting to market is how to, I don't know if you can do it as much at Google with their AdSense thing, but I know the Facebook demo, you can be very targeted.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for asking.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Sarah. I work for a healthcare company, and I have two questions. One's really fast and the other probably not. But I'm hearing a lot of, you know, what does grandma want? And I'm wondering what the actual gender demographics are for social use in seniors at the various age levels. Is it, you know, is it still that kind of old assumption that everybody over 70 is female, or
yeah,
you know, what, how is that playing out?
I don't have hard and fast stuff on that, although I think the presumption is it's largely female. I know that when you go into a senior living community, 60% of them are female, 30% are male. The average age is in their 80s. So I think the older you get, the more you see the male use of online services fall off. But I don't have anything for like the 50 to 65, off the top of my head at least.
And then my other question is, so on a website that is designed for people of all ages, mm-hmm. You know, we take accessibility into account because it's a healthcare organization. But would you recommend having a special area of the site for seniors that's designed more for them, or incorporating it into everything? Because the issue that I'm seeing is either making it too simple mm-hmm. for everyone else, if we're talking about like big icons mm-hmm. and making it really obvious. And the other thing is being patronizing in mm-hmm. making it too simplified, for especially for the people who are in their 50s, 60s, you know, who aren't, you know, maybe don't have the mobility issues or the vision.
No, that's a good point. I think all, you know, the more you look at where interface design is going, I mean, you get HTML5 and you want to have it on a tablet as well as on a screen, and so when it's on a tablet, you can't have as much information. I think design in general is probably headed towards a more simple, elegant use of interfaces. And it's a good question, because sometimes I wonder, even if the name of our company, Seniors in Touch, is a little, you know, it's like saying Teens in Touch, you know, like, who wants to be called a teen when you're a teenager, you know? So it's a good question that you've asked. I know that the folks at AARP, they advocate design for all. That's a big mantra for them, you know, that please give us some thought when you design, because we do have some, you know, some special needs. And when you look at such a huge and growing demographic, that makes perfect sense. You really do. You don't want to not include them because you haven't thought about how to design for older adults in your interface. But it's a good question. I think some senior adults probably do need some special interface work done for them. And I know on the accessibility side for Microsoft, they do. If you really follow a lot of their... that guy, Gary Moulton, is such a neat guy. He really loves what he does, and he really does care about, you know, when you use a Windows operating system, that there's ways to increase font size. There's ways to do stuff, you know, to make it easier, even if somebody hasn't thought about the design. But I do think increasingly there's that, maybe that's a panel too. You know, how do you address designing for everybody over the years to come, when you realize so much of the demographic is not going to be young anymore, it's going to be older. I don't know. I know for me, when I go to the senior living communities, I've found that a lot of folks have contrast problems. They lose the ability to see certain spectrums, and so there's colors that you have to be careful about, because they can't differentiate between the hues and the colors, and so you have to be very careful in the contrast. And even flashing icons, some of the seniors can't see. We have flashing icons; they can't see that it's flashing. And so I think there probably has to be a degree of customization when you get to the older end of the spectrum.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi there.
Hi.
I work for a vacation rental website and in brand marketing, and we've always said just that our target demographic is 25 to 54, but I think anecdotally and internally we've said that, well, you know, grandparents crave this connectivity with their family, so it's possible that they're the ones doing research and planning for travel and engaging in trips and engaging in the planning process for family trips. So I was wondering if you had any information about that, or any kind of perspective about, you know, just in your experience, are they the ones bringing up the ideas for family travel?
Could you rephrase the question for me?
Sure. It's just that our seniors and older adults, are they planning travel for their families?
Okay. I can only speak from my experience from this. Mm-hmm. Without fail, I deal with a lot of assisted living communities, which I think are super cool, because you know they're the largest growing segment of senior communities, where skilled nursing, which is what most people think of when they think of nursing homes, is the shrinking segment. There's 16,000 skilled nursing facilities in America. There's 38,000 assisted living, and you can, over the next 20 years, I don't think skilled nursing is going to double like assisted living is, because you get assisted living, it's like apartments with beauty salons, you know, and stuff like that. But I know when I go to these facilities, they're always talking about trips for weddings and birthdays, mm-hmm. but I don't often find at that age and the age spectrum, travel is a real engaging part of their life. I know when you get to that older age of the spectrum, a lot of folks actually, the biggest two life-threatening situations in senior living communities is either falls, when you break your hip or falls, or urinary tract infections. And so, you know, your health is just more fragile, and so I think the trips are more, I think you're more cautious when you travel. But I know my parents love to travel, and they're in their 70s, and I assume there comes a point, though, where you just don't have the ability to travel, but I'm not an expert in that area.
Thanks.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you all very much. If you've enjoyed this and you want to see more panels like this, please give a good report to South by Southwest so that they'll consider more panels like this next year.